ice cold beer.
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, good morning and welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves, joined in studio by my pal Brian Svensson.
What's up?
And on the bullpen phone, Chris Zook.
Hello, I will just tell you, I will be driving.
Oh, you'll be driving.
So just if you lose me or whatever, I'm just navigating the city doing Burger Week this week.
Oh, doing the Burger Week. Well, the Hub has a good one.
Jared claims it's the best burger he's ever had in his entire life.
The Drunken Bison. It's a bison meat burger with Bothwell cheese, deep-fried mushrooms.
Oh, see, I'm out.
Sunny-side egg, all sorts of stuff.
I'm out.
Horseradish aioli.
Don't do mushrooms.
Okay,
well
then.
I tell you, a lot
you're
of
missing
like
out.
The egg one.
And bacon.
I don't understand the egg. I like it. It's all right. It's no problem. But, yeah, I mean, hey, it's a good thing, right? People get around to different places and stuff, and if you like burgers, you have ample opportunities to survey as much as you want there. But it sounds like a good one.
This is
good
true.
Good to chow one down before the big Bison game tonight.
One thing I've been seeing on a lot of these burgers that I'm a big fan of is a lot of coleslaw, and I'm a big fan of coleslaw on burgers.
I like coleslaw on like a pulled pork sandwich.
Yep.
Where I mess with the coleslaw. Zook, you're in the car, so you can't see this, but Brian rolled in here today wearing his Josh Donaldson jersey. Some Blue Jays shoes and cap as well.
Socks. I got socks
as
well.
Oh, he's got Blue Jays socks. So,
I actually thought he had a Donaldson Indians jersey already.
No.
Soon. Well, like, I wouldn't.
Not in 2018.
That might be just a rental. That could be a rental.
This is true.
Renting
so,
shirts.
But we're gonna start with Donaldson and with Gibbons and with the Jays in general because there's also a piece I wanted to talk about.
Please drive to highlighted route.
Okay,
we might have
Sorry.
To.
Zook's GPS making a surprise appearance
on here. So obviously the Donaldson trade, something that happened since we last spoke here. Are we going to pour one out? Is that what you're
going to do? What a disaster that is! Oh my goodness, Mike, it's bad to only get a quote unquote player to be named later, and Joe Bag of Donuts for the 2015 American League MVP is. I get that he's injured and he's a rental, but like so. It just tells you that they should have made the trade earlier, right? If you knew that you weren't going to be competing and that you're basically waiting for Vlad Jr., why not make that trade last year? I just don't... I don't get it.
So you're not saying earlier this year. You're meaning earlier.
Like, during the offseason, when you knew that there was a huge market for third baseman, when you knew that there was multiple teams chomping at the bit, you could have gotten some really solid pitching prospects from the Cardinals, and you decided not to. I'm out on the Shapiro Atkins era. I'm just out, man. They're terrible.
Brian, I'm going to tell you something here. That's a year too late. You should have been out when it first started. Everyone knew they were going to do this. I was talking to my brother, who's a huge Jays fan, and, you know, sports has windows. That window was that 2-year period, right? Because if you're a Jays fan, the Yankees weren't so good. The Red Sox wasn't very good. They had a chance to win, and they blew it. And now what they're saying with they're going to get rid of Gibbons. They got rid of Donaldson and Batista and Carcion, right? They're now saying, oh, guess what? 2020 or 2021 is when we're going to compete again. That's a great selling point for a fan base, isn't it, Brian?
See, I don't know, but like sports are different nowadays. We are in a post tank era where some fans are just okay with really bad.
Are you okay with that? I would not be.
I'm not, but some fans are.
Chance to do something, right? They have that window, and then they just blew it by bringing these guys in who are now just what are they doing? They're just bottom lining it. And they're going to go, they're going to have a race to the bottom to try and then do what other teams have done. Go bad and then try and be up again. It doesn't work all the time.
No, right? It doesn't.
Talk to a Baltimore Oriole fan right now. How's that one working out?
Yeah, I was going to say, for every single Philadelphia 76ers, there's three Orlando Magics.
Exactly. And I guess I just feel like the other thing I think is just really bad. So you want to do this. You can agree or disagree. The worst thing about this is Donaldson, who was an MVP. You could have done this last year. You could have done this in the offseason. Why do you do it now and you literally get zero for him and then you try and justify saying, hey, this is the best deal we can do? No, it wasn't. He was actually worth something at the start of the year, last year, before he went injury. And then this whole thing about is he healthy or not,
Then his literal first game with the AAA squad for the Lindors, he goes ahead and smacks a grand slam.
Exactly.
Opposite field, too.
Sure, and you know as a Jays fan, this guy, I mean, that in the reverse, when they did the trade, that was one of the best trades in Jays history, right? Like, the reason he's the catalyst for their boon years for the couple of years when they made the run, right?
No, exactly. I mean, without that Brett Laurie trade...
Yeah. And I remember that trade, and
R.I.P. Chris Zook.
As he said, we might lose him while we're driving, searching for burgers.
Yeah, so I mean, it's another one of those trades where, like, you don't lament getting Donaldson, right? Like, obviously the guy's the MVP and all that stuff. And the way that Zook put it, I don't necessarily agree with saying that they quote-unquote blew it. The playoffs are lucky. Right, like the amount of runs that are conceded due to luck in the playoffs are completely it's luck based. So that's
where I see it. Maybe it's the middle ground between the two. As you said, the opportunity existed to do this before this season, right? Because
yes.
Obviously, at some point this season, his trade value was negligible because he got injured,
calf injuries.
But I think the thing about it is, this was an offseason where Manny Machado was super desired on the trade market, right? And Baltimore just wouldn't bite. At the winter meetings, they were like, we want the moon. No, you can't have him. It's at that point that you go to the teams that say they're super interested in Machado.
And you offer Donaldson.
You say, hey, you know what? We've got an MVP caliber third baseman. We'll take 80%.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, exactly. And there's a lot of talk, especially from, obviously these tweets and sources are probably lost to the wind or to people who have a lot more time than I do to research it. But I remember reading something from John Morosi who said that, the Jays could have gotten two B-plus level pitching prospects from the Cardinals for Donaldson in the offseason. And I just don't know why you don't do that. Pitching prospects is the one thing in this rebuild that the Jays are missing. You have outfielders, right? You've got Biggio, you've got Hernandez, you've got Alford, you've got Dwight Smith Jr. You've got infielders, you've got Rowdy Tellez, who is raking right now. You've got Bo Bichette, you've got Vlad Guerrero, you've got Danny Jensen, you've got all the position prospects you need to be a stellar offensive and defensive club. You don't have the pitching prospects. You've got what, Sean Reid Foley, and that's it? Caviglio? Okay. I'm not excited about either of those guys. So, like, why aren't you... I don't know. I'm just upset.
Yeah, no, understandably. As a Jays fan, as Zook said, you know, you kind of had to expect this with Shapiro because this is the record.
Right. Okay. So I'm not, and I was trying to say this in a post tank world, there are people. I'm not super happy about tanking, but there are people and a lot of fans who are fine with bottoming out. Right. That was a huge debate within the online Jays community before this season, was that why aren't we just bottoming out? Right. There are people, especially those in Toronto, who witnessed the tank job that the Leafs pulled off and are fine with it. I'm not, but there are, you know, there's a large portion of the fan base that's fine watching exciting young prospects and
struggle
and lose games for a while because you're still watching exciting young prospects and there is a dream of being fantastic in the future rather than just being mediocre this year. I remember before this season, I was excited that the Fangraphs projection for the Jays was around like 86 wins, which is generally pretty mediocre, right? Like you're six games above 500, which is
not great.
It's mediocre, right? You're slightly above average. And you know, I don't know, man.
So
they should have made this trade a season and a half ago.
Is there something to kind of like the general fatalist nature of Toronto sports fandom? Right, I mean, this is the Raptors eventually going to lose to the Cavs. This is the Leafs, you know, perpetually not going to do it. That this just kind of like ties into that like sports psychology, and it allows them to do it because
yeah, maybe.
What I find inexplicable is, you know, we're talking about a team owned by a broadcast company,
which is probably why they wanted to be mediocre because you could still sell mediocre teams.
Some of the deepest pockets, arguably, they have a market. That's, you know, third largest, I guess? So L.A. and New York probably would be larger than kind of the overall blanket network of Canada.
Right.
And you want to put on a product that, is your argument that because they have that essentially like market domination, they don't have to work?
Yeah, no, that's it, right? Like they have market domination, they don't have to worry. The other thing about that too is, and there's a caveat with how much money they're making, because they are a publicly owned and traded company, they have to answer to their stockholders. So you can't lose money on the baseball team in order to win, right? That's something that they can't do. That company can't go out and spend $190 million US on the team because they have to answer to their shareholders, which I think is a disaster. I just think that doesn't make any sense to me because at the end of the day, you own the team because you want to win baseball games. Sports are, at their core, a public trust, right? And because they're at sports at their core are a public trust, I just think that not spending money on the team is in bad faith, in complete bad faith to those that are fans of the team.
Zook, did we get you back?
I am back, and okay. I totally agree with what Brian is saying there. I mean, we're still talking to Jays, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, we haven't. We haven't moved on to a different dysfunctional franchise. So,
okay, now.
No worries on that. I would totally agree with that. I just feel, and I'm not the biggest Jays fan, but I love those 2 years that they had that run, and I just feel they're being very disingenuous about what they're doing here, right?
Yep. Yeah.
You know, I mean, come clean of what you're doing. Come clean of what you did what this was all along.
Don't take the middle ground.
You're down this team, but you were trying to sell that you were still going for it.
Don't take the middle ground. Don't put one foot in each pool. Either go full one way or full the other.
Right, because in sports, and that's, I think, the biggest thing we've learned the last, you know, half decade or so, or even a decade, is it's either you got to go all the way like Atlanta. I think Atlanta Braves is a really good example. You know, then do the full tank, change up that, try and get your prospects, and then try and regain what you had before, right?
Cubs and Astros, too.
Middle ground never works.
No.
Because you're never going to win either way. You're never going to win now, or you're never going to win in the future.
The treadmill of mediocrity.
I'd rather take the hit now. But the thing is that I think the worst thing about this, they could have done this a year ago or 2 years ago even, really. When they knew once the Yankees and the Red Sox were reloading and you were going to compete with them, and then you said your payroll is going to go down, what were the alternatives?
So,
unless it's going to be the Oakland A's, you know?
I think they could have competed with the Yankees and Red Sox for a couple of years.
Sure.
Yeah, I think they could have. I mean, you have AL MVP Donaldson.
That, right?
You know, you've
right,
got. Yeah. No, absolutely. I was talking to Jared because he was actually disappointed. He's a Cleveland Lindors fan, and he was disappointed with the trade. And he was talking about how he actually didn't want Donaldson. And I said that, you know, give him back then, because the most fun I think I've ever had watching baseball was that 2015 season when he was red hot. I think I'm honest about that. I think that's the most fun I've ever had watching baseball. That team was must-watch television. They had the best offense in Major League Baseball, and they had good enough pitching to back it up. And it was awesome to watch, and they were fun, and they had a nobody-believes-in-us attitude. They had a screw-you-rest-of-the-world attitude. We're going to do this. They had a chip on their shoulder, and it was a blast to watch. They got it done. And once it was clear that that wasn't going to happen again, you lose out on David Price, you lose out on any other pitching options, Donaldson gets hurt, Batista clearly isn't what he used to be, I think that's when you start trading off the pieces, right? You trade Tulo while he's still healthy. You trade Russ while he's still productive, so that way you're off those contracts. You trade Encarnacion, you trade Donaldson, you trade Batista on the last year of his deal, and you just blow it up, and you take all the prospects that you can, you take punts on guys that you think that can produce, and you just you go for it after that. But I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of the middle ground. It made me upset.
Clearly. So, sticking to the Jays, as I said, there's two articles that I wanted to touch on. One is per John Heyman of FanCred Sports, citing a source calling it 99.9% done that Gibbons and the Blue Jays will go their separate ways at the end of this season. Gibbons had signed a contract extension before the start of last season, guaranteed through 2019 with a team option for 2020. We were talking off air before the show that Gibbons isn't necessarily the person to blame for this.
Not like Gibby.
He's had to deal with that front office making their decisions, and he's had to deal with a whole lot of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't manage either of those situations.
No, out of his control.
That said, you know, if we are looking at, you know, a youthful rebuild, he's maybe not the guy to be at the helm of that.
Yeah, I don't think... No. Go ahead, Zuke.
Let me just jump in for 2 seconds. I would totally agree with you, Michael, and I would say this also. The management team usually wants their guy in eventually, right? And so if Gibby was still winning, he would still be there. But they're not winning, so it's a good way to get rid of him now. And, yeah, he's better at a more of an established team than a young and upcoming thing. I mean, same thing is going to happen to Walter. Buck Showalter is going to be showing the door right after this epically bad season they've had. But he had nothing to do with that, right? He's still the same manager he is when he won the division title. But, you know, this is what you get saddled with as a manager sometimes. And you can only manage what you have there. And basically, the Jays now have a pretty much a moderate AAA club there, pretty much, right? So, yeah, the writing's on the wall.
Speaking of AAA, the other thing I wanted to touch on, this was Sportsnet's Shai Davidi, who reported that the Major League Baseball Players Association has come out with a letter on the decision by the Jays not to promote Vlad Guerrero Jr. I'll quote the statement. The union's position on service time manipulation is clear. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and other great young talents around baseball have earned the right to play on the field for a major league team. The decision to not bring him up is a business decision, not a baseball decision. It's bad for the Blue Jays, it's bad for fans, it's bad for players, and it's bad for the industry.
I largely agree. I think that service time manipulation is garbage. I understand why teams have to do it. I just don't agree with it. And I think that it ends up that nobody ends up getting paid, right? That it's so owners can continue to be rich. You bring these guys up later than they should be called up, so they don't get paid until later. Like, they don't get paid until the middle of their prime. And then by the time that first real big contract's over, nobody's paying for players on the downside. So nobody's getting paid anymore. You're not getting veterans are not getting paid. Rookies are not getting paid. So who's getting paid anymore? Nobody.
Yeah, it's a bad system. And, you know, it's happened forever, right? Chris Bryant was a big example back in the day that they held him because he needed some defensive something, whatever they made up. And the minute that deadline passed and they brought him up and he's been, you know, all world, right? Michael, you might know this. I heard this when I was in Minneapolis last week. They were talking about Byron Buxton, of all things, is that their manipulation of his season this year is kind of the opposite. But they actually held him out again. They put him on DL. They put him down on minors. And literally because I think he's like 10 days or 15 days away from, you know, adding another then he could have free agency a year earlier. And then the club's just like they just sat him this year and wasted a year off his playing career and his paying career for that. And so the Players Association is totally right, but the managers, they don't care because they'll use it to their advantage until it gets changed in another agreement.
Well, I mean, the Twins situation is legitimate in the sense that, like, they have demoted him and sat him because of his, like, struggles at the plate. I mean, there is no denying he is an, like, exceptional defensive player.
Right, but they were saying, their comment was that he wasn't healthy. They played him early in the year. It was a really weird situation because Buxton got played when he was injured, and then they put him on the DL. Then he was available. Then they just sat him back in the minors there. It's all of it is, at the end of the day, what the reporter was talking about on the radio in Minneapolis was basically saying they were playing the game administration-wise for Buxton as well, just on the opposite end. He was ready to get more free agency, and they want to reduce that. All of that said, it's all not good, and the PA is totally right. I mean, Guerrero, he could be in the majors today.
Well, this is the thing. So Shapiro went on MLB Network Radio on SiriusXM day before last saying it has nothing to do with business. We think the best thing for him developmentally is to go play in Arizona in the Fall League. Meanwhile, this is a guy who in this season, at the age of 19, hit .381, .437, .636 with 20 home runs, 29 doubles, one triple, and 78 RBI across four minor league levels.
His defense is still atrocious, to be fair. If you watch any of the videos of him playing defense, he's slow, his hands are not right, his footwork's awful.
But would you argue that the Arizona Fall League is the place where defense comes?
No. It is a business move. He's lying through his teeth. That being said, there is a reason for there is a reason why it can be a baseball move. It's because his defense is bad. But at the same point in time, he's a guy in the American League. So like if his defense is just never going to get good, which is honestly what I think it is, I don't understand why you're not trying to play him at first or DH and just utilize how good of a hitter he is, because he is an explosive hitter that deserves to be hitting, at least in the major leagues.
Speaking of explosive hitters, let's tip our cap here to someone who I don't think we've talked a ton about this season, but who has a strong chance to become the first Triple Crown winner since Mickey Mantle in 1956, and that is J.D. Martinez. Currently one home run back.
Didn't Miguel Cabrera win the Triple Crown?
Sure did.
Oh.
2011?
That's right.
Good point. He did win it. Sorry.
Correct.
Thank you, MLB.com, for not having the right stats on your Triple Crown winners.
And since then, Carl Yastrzemski won one as well, right? Yastrzemski won in the 70s? I'm pretty sure. So
you know what?
Seven before Cabrera.
They're quote-unquote true Triple Crown.
What the heck is the true Triple Crown?
So this is the last player to lead the majors in the three categories in the same season. So batting average, homers, and RBIs.
Isn't that... Yeah. Right? I always thought that was the Triple Crown. I'm pretty sure Miggy did that in 2011, right, Sue?
No, Miggy did that for sure. Yes, he did, because they made a big point that he was the first one since his strength in 67.
Yeah.
So I'm not too sure where they're getting their facts. That might be fake news.
That might be some fake news.
Andrew Simon of MLB.com, let's all call this guy out on his stats here, because I was reading
bad.
This. And taking
fact.
His gospel. Okay, so
that's bad.
But J.D. Martinez, one homer behind Chris Davis. He has a 9 RBI lead, and he is tied for average with Mookie Betts.
Hey, if he does it, good on him. I'm always a fan of players winning the Triple Crown, even if he's a slimy Boston player. I don't know. It's fine, right? It's fine. It's good. It's good for baseball.
So this
it is good.
Man, this is making me go back here and look at the list here. Also, let's pour one out for Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, man, I'm so sad about that.
LA Angels announced Wednesday that the MRI on his right throwing elbow showed new damage to his UCL. UCL reconstruction surgery, a.k.a. Tommy John, is the recommended plan. Despite the strain on his UCL, he still managed to hit two homers.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, this could spell the end of him being a two-way player, unfortunately.
Correct. I'm just finishing up the baseball show.
Yeah, okay, so here, first of all, sad for Shohei Ohtani. Second of all, list of Triple Crown winners, Miguel Cabrera, 2012.
Batting 330, 44 homers and 139.
Carl Yastrzemski, 1967. Frank Robinson in 66. Mickey Mantle in 56. Williams twice in 47 and 42.
Okay, well, I'm at MLBing on Twitter later and saying, hey, guys.
You messed up.
Clean up this.
Total mess up. Let me say this. Can I tip a hat as well today to Trevor Story, who hit three home runs in a game earlier
this week. Great mustache, too.
And hit the longest one in the StatTrak era, which is hilarious when they say that because they just started in 2015. So wow, he hit the biggest one in the last 3 years.
But however, anyway, it was 505 feet.
505 is a bomb.
And let me tell you, those three were outstanding. Like they progressively got bigger. And he's had, you know, one of those again because it's out in the West and no one really cares what Colorado lost. But he's had a really good season. Bounce up. People might know the name when he came on earlier to start his career when he launched the home runs. And he's become a really good player this year. And if you had him in fantasy, power to you.
Well, and the Rockies have a game and a half lead on the Dodgers atop the NL West. So there's a chance you might get to know him in the postseason.
Rocktober. Going to happen again.
Rocktober. This is true. Well, that pretty much wraps it up for us here. Stick around for Democracy Now! Thanks for joining us, Chris. Enjoy your burger.
Yeah, play ball. All right.
See you, Zook.